Welcome, everybody, on a Tuesday. Draft Talk with Tony Brodsky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, Grant Richards and Tyler Sawar are both here with me. As for the rest of the guys, they are not here. Eli Bashy, Mike Bilicki gave them the show off because we're not really going to talk too much Pistons today, so I just gave them the episode off. Meanwhile, for Jay, he was planning to be here before his hoops run, but his connection really wasn't working out where he is hooping at tonight. So Jay is also going to sit this episode out, but it's all right, though, because we do have, like I said, Grant Richards and Tyler Sawa with me today. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining me. Let's get started and begin, as always, with the introductions. Let's start with Tyler. Hi, Tyler. Welcome back. Tyler only shows up when the Raiders lose, so it is good to have you.
That is very true.
It's good to have you back on the show this week. How's everything going? And also, you know, last week on the program, you weren't here, but with the rest of the gentlemen, I had them talk about their favorite moment from the Pistons game that we went to a couple Saturdays ago, Cade's debut in our first and, at the time, only win of the season. So since you weren't here last week on the show to talk about that, even though it was a while ago, I still want to ask you, if you even remember, what was your favorite?
Well, I would remember, unlike other people.
Well, it was so long ago. I don't know. I don't remember what happened yesterday, let alone a couple weeks ago. But what was your favorite moment from that game a couple Saturdays ago?
Favorite moment? Oof, that's tough. I mean, it was a fun game. We had really good seats.
We won.
We won. We met a lot of cool people that day.
Yeah.
I mean, the people in front of us, shout out to them. They were great people. favorite moment, probably just seeing Cade Cunningham back on the, you know, on the court for the Pistons, making his debut and just being with the boys and, you know, just enjoying a good basketball game on a nice Saturday night. I mean, it was a good time. You couldn't really ask for much more. I mean, we got the win. Cade played, and you just had those moments during the game where you got loud, you got excited. We got our picture taken by a professional photographer. I believe his name is Gavin Rose.
Shout out to Gavin, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, like, there wasn't really much more you could ask for, so it was a fabulous night. Grant, very random. I mean, when we were walking before the game, I don't even know if you remember this, but we were just walking before the game. We got there very early in attendance. Do you remember our competition in Papa Shot by the team store?
What? I didn't hear this story.
About Papa Shot?
What's Papa Shot?
Papa Shot, like, you know, like the thing like at like the arcade where you like you shoot a basketball like in the little hoop. They have one at LCA. Me and Grant went versus each other, and I beat him in the competition.
Oh, I didn't hear this. What was at stake?
Pride. Who gets a team magnet that we ended up leaving on the team garbage can?
Oh, come on.
Which we both
yes,
did end up getting.
I do remember that now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they just give you a team magnet. But yeah, I do remember that.
That you left I on think the team garbage why, can.
Yes.
I think that's what I was trying to forget all night. I think that increased my magnet. Intake.
That's why you were drinking on that Saturday night. You were trying to forget losing.
The pineapple
bleep. I got bodied in Papa
Shot. The pineapple bleep.
I deserved it.
So that also goes to my favorite memories, beating Grant Richards in a Papa Shot competition, which I believe he shot 0 for 4, if I'm not mistaken. He might have made one.
Oh, no, Grant. You missed all of them?
Dude, all right. If we're going to be honest, it was 0 for 5 because they gave you 4, and then I convinced the lady up there to be like, I was like, look, one for pride. Come on. I missed them all. Brick the last one. Not even a chance. Off the front iron.
Tyler, what was your final score?
Well, I only got 4. Or... yeah, I think it was 4.
You went four for four?
No, I think I shot 3 for 4.
Oh, that's better than 0 for 5. My goodness.
Oh, yeah. The ball bounces back, almost hits Grant, and then Grant's like, let me just shoot one more. She's like, go for it.
Well, you know what? At least Grant was able to ride the Meyer horse. There is that.
He did.
That's all that matters. When I go to LCA, that Meyer horse better be there. I'm protesting.
There's another story that's kind of funny that we didn't even tell you guys to. Only me and Grant know this was that there was a little girl just waiting to ride that horse in Grant.
Grant! Oh!
Grant, the horse is so rhythmic.
Grant's like, just give me one more minute. He goes, and then I'll give you all you want.
You said that to her?
Dude, it's the Meyer horse. Whatever. I remember that because I love
Grant,
that.
Grant, you suck.
It's free. Like, it's not. She had to wait a couple seconds.
We had a whole night. We were early at the game, too. So I
was teaching her patience.
There you go.
Good
life lesson.
You don't need to learn patience by being a Pistons fan. Just wait at the Meyer horse when Grant is riding it. That's going to teach you true patience.
The funny thing, he's like, give me one more minute. He goes, I'll be done in a second.
Were her parents there? Did you say this?
Yes.
Oh, the parents were definitely like, oh, like, this kid sucks.
I turned around. I was not affiliated with Grant.
Oh, no. Well, all right, Grant, I got no transition. Let's just move on to you now. Tyler, good to have you back on the Grand Richards. How are you today, Grant? And as always, you know, Mike's not here to say it, so why doesn't Tyler say it this week? You know what to say here, Tyler?
I think I've been prepared for this. I've been waiting this for my whole life. I've been in the minor leagues. Grant, how is your sports betting this week?
Did you stay at the Park Inn?
When I was in my minor league trip, I had to stay there a couple nights.
We might have to stay there when we go to the Swamp Shop for Christmas shopping.
Oh, I know. Yeah, 20% off when we go to a Toledo Wallace game outside.
Oh,
this year.
Oh boy! Oh goodness! Okay, Grant, how are you? And how does sports betting go?
Tyler, I just want to say that was phenomenal. I can
it
tell
was.
You've been,
it
grew
was.
Up your entire life asking people how their sports betting went. That was top tier.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Well, Tony, I'm good. I just got back from celebrating my grandma's birthday, so happy birthday, Grandma.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
Anyway, happy birthday, Grandma. The weekend was good. Weekend was full of sports. Jeez.
Have you been riding the Meyer horse tonight?
I have not, actually. I had to drive home, so I kept it sober.
Good.
But so the weekend was full of sports. I think I said that correctly.
Yes.
Can't complain there. But sports betting, we were getting frisky throughout the week, hitting like nothing crazy, just a couple standalone NBA bets. And then we entered Sunday, which was probably the weirdest NFL like final scores I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, I know Jay was going to talk about it. I'm not going to say anything more because I don't know much, but. Jay was frustrated. I was severely frustrated with the outcomes. The Raiders did lose. But to answer your question, I need a bounce back week. Not down as bad as last week, but I could use a bounce back. We are definitely in the hole right now.
You'll
Tony, how's your sports betting?
You will get a bounce back week. I can feel it. As for me, 5 winning weeks in a row. It was another winning week. We are on fire. This is not the longest winning streak I've had. That currently sits at 6. So I am 1 winning week away from tying my personal record. I would like to get it this week, so let's try, along with the Grant bounce back week. But yeah, 5 straight winning weeks, and I think 6 in the last 7 as well. You know what it is, Grant? It's hockey. It's because the NHL is back. You know, with me, NHL bets... That's my baby. Like, that is my thing. Now that hockey's back, we're rolling now. And this past week, we hit a couple big-time NHL parlays, and that really helped me get the winning week this week. So, yeah, sports betting is going good for me. Grant might not be going too well for him, but he is going to bounce back.
You know what, Tony?
I'm having
a good time.
Yes.
I'm having a good time.
At least you're having a good time, because Jay, he's not here to say it himself, but I mean, if you saw his tweet on Sunday night, I don't think he's having too much of a fun time. But it happens, I guess. He logged back in, like I said,
I think he was back today already.
I told you he was going to log back in. He didn't even last 24 hours. He came out of his retirement. Oh, goodness. But nonetheless, though, gentlemen, good to have you back on the show this week. As for the rest of the guys, we hope to get them back in the next episode next week. But as for today, Tyler, Grant, let's get right into it. I do plan for this to be kind of a more laid-back episode. As I mentioned at the start of the program, no Pistons talk today. We're going to take a week off from them. There's not a whole lot to talk about with them. So we'll take the week off from the Pistons. Nothing to talk about the Lions because they had their bye week. And as for college, yeah, screw that. I'm not... oh, Tony, oh, they lost it. Tony's not going to talk about them. You're damn right. We're still 8-1, just like Ohio State and Michigan. On to the next one.
Look at Tony avoiding adversity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, the refs couldn't help you out this week. Now you're not going to talk about them. But that's neither here nor there. As for today's program, I do plan for this to be a little bit more laid back and relaxing because we're going to talk Red Wings and Tigers today. Tyler, are you ready? Red Wings and Tigers on the program.
I was on mute. You didn't even get to hear my emotions when I when I heard Detroit Tigers baseball talk. Oh, just amazing. I'm excited.
We're going to end the program with Tigers. We'll end the program with
even
them.
Even better. Even better.
To start today's show, let's begin with the Red Wings. It's funny because Tyler was the one who brought up a couple shows ago that we need to talk about the Red Wings at some point on the show. And we're going to do that today because the Red Wings, they have been really fun to start this season. And, you know, coming into the season, if you remember, I said on here and on Twitter, though I'm not saying playoffs, I do think this team could be a lot of fun to watch this year. And so far, throughout the first 13 or so games of the season, yeah, the Red Wings have been a whole lot of fun to watch. They have had some stinkers here and there. It hasn't been all perfect, but overall this season, it's been a lot of fun to watch. And though I am still not saying playoffs, it is good to see the Red Wings playing a fun and exciting brand of hockey right now. And like I said, they've had a few stinkers here and there, but throughout the first 13 or so games of the season, pretty much every night they're going out there and playing fun, competitive hockey and getting some wins, some fun and exciting wins out there, you know? And I'm still not saying playoffs just yet. That's not at all what I'm saying. But what I will say is that throughout the first 13 or so games this year, just saying, though I'm not saying playoffs, they are still in the thick of things in the playoff race. I'm just saying, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, though, again, the Red Wings, they have had a really fun and exciting start to the season this year. And for me, the three players who I would say are kind of the biggest reasons why the team is so exciting right now, and I guess you can say that these three players are the three who are really shining above the others so far this season, are Tyler Bertuzzi, Lucas Raymond, Mo Sider. The three of them have been fantastic so far this season. Starting with Tyler Bertuzzi, who has just been awesome this year. Tyler Bertuzzi, as we are recording this on Monday night, he currently sits ranked fifth in all of the NHL with 15 points. And he's also ranked third in all of the NHL with 9 goals. And you have to remember Tyler Bertuzzi too. This is in just 10 games played because he's obviously not able to play in Canada. So he hasn't even been able to play every single game this season. And he is still top 5 in points in the entire NHL and top 3 in goals in the entire NHL. Especially coming off the injury that he had last year. Seeing Tyler Bertuzzi perform the way that he is right now, it's really, really encouraging to see. He has been awesome, and so has our two rookies, Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider. The way these two are playing right now to start their NHL careers, oh, it's so good. It is so, so good. Because we've been talking about for years now, trust the Iser plan, we got a bright future, just be patient for these young guys to come up here and do their thing. Well, they're up here. Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider are up here, and they are both absolutely going off. These two, with the way they have played to start the season, they are looking like superstars. They are looking like two of the cornerstone franchise pieces for the next decade plus or whatever for this Red Wings team. They are both playing fantastic right now to start their NHL careers. Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider are currently 1 and 2 respectively. It's Lucas 1, Mo 2 in NHL points among rookies throughout the entire league. And Lucas Raymond especially. As I always say in my Red Wing videos, the Calder's calling. The Calder is calling. With the way he's playing right now, there is no way he doesn't win the Calder Trophy. Lucas Raymond has been fantastic to start this season. And so is Mo, but Lucas Raymond especially. 6 goals, 8 assists, 14 points on the season at the time of recording this. And with those 14 points, he is currently tied for 7th among the league in points scored as a rookie. That is super, super encouraging. And as for Mo Sider, obviously, at the time of recording this, 1 goal, 9 assists, 10 total points. As I said, Lucas Raymond, number 1 in rookie points in the NHL. Mo Sider, number 2 in rookie points. Both of them have been fantastic this season. They've been a lot of fun to watch. And after saying for years, just wait for these two to come up. Trust the eyes are playing. The future is bright. Just wait for them to come up here and do their thing. To see them up here and performing the way that they are right now to start the season, it's fun. And it is super, super encouraging for the future of this team. So with that, Tyler, you were the one who wanted to talk Red Wings hockey a couple weeks ago on the program. So here we are, talking some Red Wings. Tyler, I know you've been watching the Red Wings this season. I know you've been to 1 or 2 games already this year. One game.
Yep.
But you still been to a game. So yep. You see the Red Wings' hot start to the season and their fun start to the year. What's going through your head right now as you watch this team play?
So as you were talking, I was just like very curious to just look at like stats around the league, because I know like Lucas Raymond was like just lighting up the league, and I haven't been watching as much as I want to, just because like the timing of Red Wings games haven't been always like ideal. Like they played Saturday just during college football, and there's just been some games I missed, like yesterday too, or Sunday, sorry, with NFL Sunday going on. But just looking around, you know, just normal stats, who leads the league in points around the NHL, and I see Lucas Raymond, like you said, is tied for number 6, and like the guys that he is tied with are like even casual fans like me know, like Andrei Svechnikov. I can't even cough. That's what's his name's brother, right?
Evgeny. Yes. Yeah, right. Gino. Right. Yeah. He's in Winnipeg now.
Yeah. Kopitar from the Kings. Steven Stamkos. Nugent Hopkins. Johnny Gaudreau. Like these are like big name hockey players. Like even like me, who doesn't really watch much hockey outside of the Red Wings, like I can tell you these players. And I think it's awesome to see a guy like Lucas Raymond just in the same, you know, category, even though it's so early into the season.
But as a rookie.
As a rookie, yes.
As a rookie.
Yeah. And then you just look at, like, the Red Wings, like, points chart. The top three guys, Tyler Bertuzzi, Lucas Raymond, Mo Sider. Like, what else could you have asked for, you know, to the beginning of the season with your young players? Like, I'm just thinking this from, like, a baseball standpoint, because I think it's kind of similar with, you know, the Tigers prospect. This would be, like, the Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson, like, just lighting up the league as them getting called up right away. And I think, you know, seeing it with the Red Wings, I think it's really fascinating. I got a question for you, though. So Tyler Bertuzzi, I know there's been some confliction of contract of if this guy's a long-term piece, if, you know, are they going to trade him? I just looked at his details. So you got this year, you got next year. Where are you sitting at right now with Tyler Bertuzzi? Is this guy a long-term piece for you?
Well, if he keeps on playing the way that he is, I don't know how you don't give him another contract. I mean, he has been, like I said when I was talking, he has been awesome this year. And after coming off the injury that he had, it's almost remarkable, because you can go back to the episode where we did kind of our Red Wings preview. I said in that episode, this is a big year for Tyler Bertuzzi because he's coming off the injury, the contract. Like, there's a whole lot of we don't knows with Tyler Bertuzzi right now regarding the fact if he's a long-term piece or not. And so far to start this season, it's only been 10 games for him, but so far in those 10 games, he has been awesome. I mean, the stats speak for themselves. He's only played in 10 games, and he is ranked top 5 in points and top 3 in goals in the entire league. He has been awesome this season. So if he keeps on playing the way that he is, that's when it starts to get interesting. I'll say that. But no, he's been absolutely fantastic so far this year.
And the Red Wings have been winning some big games. Like, they're not beating over some pushover teams. Like, they beat the Capitals, which that was a little while ago now, but Going to Washington, D.C., and beating the Capitals, and then beating the Golden Knights at
That was a
home. I think,
comeback win too, by the way, that Capitals game.
yeah, it wasn't a 2-0 in the third period for the Capitals, and
They were down 2-0 and then eventually won 3-2, I believe, yes.
yeah, and I feel like from me just watching from the outside, if this was a couple years ago, that's like just the game, like the Red Wings was like 5-0, a game the Red Wings was 4-0. It's just like there would be no
No.
fight back.
No, yeah. If that game was played a couple years ago, or even maybe even last year,
Last year, yeah.
that's a game that they lose. They do not come back and win that game. No way.
Yep.
No.
Yeah. No, I feel like now it's kind of like what the Tigers were this year a little bit. It's like you have a chance every single, day you play for the Red Wings. Like there's never a matchup where you're like, I don't know about that. Like it could be a bad one. Well, it's just, it could happen, but I feel like
if
on
they're
most
in
nights,
Canada,
well, that's just because of different, situations,
if they're in
obviously.
Canada, you kind of can chalk that up as a loss. But no, for the most part, you are correct.
It's just like most nights, I feel like I have a legitimate chance of winning. I think that just it feels different from years previous, and I think it's really like fascinating, and it's really promising that you're seeing it from all the young players as well, and it's just kind of showing what Steve Yzerman's really building, and it's great because it's you're actually finally seeing it instead of just hearing about it.
No, and I think that's where you can draw a good comparison to the Tigers, because similar to the Tigers, we've always been saying, hey, the future is bright. Hey,
Yep.
just wait for these young pitching prospects to come up, Casey Mize, Scooble, and Manning. Just wait for these guys to come up here and show what they can do. And especially for Mize and Scooble, they obviously performed last year. They showed that the talk and the hype was real. Like, these guys are going to be studs for us, And for the Red Wings, so far, Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider they're showing that that talk and that hype was real. And it's been so much fun.
Yeah, and you still have like other guys coming up, and I think people forget Jacob Verano's hurt right now, and he was so good for this hockey team last year. I got one more question for you though. So like last year, for the Tigers, where there was a lot of unexpected players, you just did not expect to kind of break out to the scenes. I know stats don't always tell, because I can't really tell from statistically. Is there been a guy for the Red Wings where there's been that Erik Haas or that Akil Baddoo who's just been a sleeper? You had no idea who they were, or you didn't expect much out of them, and they're just kind of, I guess, breaking the scenes. They could look like a long-term piece for you potentially. Is there anyone on that Red Wings team right now?
Not really. Not there's not really that one kind of Erik Haas player, honestly. I mean, the first player that kind of came to my mind was Lucas Raymond, and I'll explain why I said that. The reason why I said that is not because we had questions about him being like a long-term piece. That's not what I'm saying. I did not expect Lucas Raymond to be this good right away. If he continues to play the way that he is right now, he's going to win the Calder, which is the NHL's Rookie of the Year. He's going to win the Calder. There's no question about it. So even though I can't think of a player who like has kind of been the Red Wings version of Erik Haas or Akil Baddoo, I will say though, I do not think anybody, at least I didn't think Lucas Raymond was going to be this good right away. Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider, they are both looking like superstars. So I hope that kind of answers your question.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. It'd be kind of like if Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson just come into the league and start mashing home runs every night. And I mean, like what they did in Toledo, basically, but do it in Detroit, like in their first month. It is crazy, man. Lucas Raymond is the same age as me, or he's younger than me. Sorry, Mo Sider's the same age as me, and Lucas Raymond's a year younger than me, and they're just taking the league by storm at where they are. And it's very refreshing to finally have something in Detroit finally, where like teams around, like other teams look at like Detroit's like, man, look at those young upcoming guys. It's just like in the NBA, it's like, oh, that team has Luka Doncic, that team has Trae Young, whatever. I feel like other NHL teams like look at the Red Wings like, man, they got Mo Sider, they have Lucas Raymond, like look at these guys. And I think it's just kind of refreshing to finally see that in Detroit.
No, it is absolutely refreshing. It's very refreshing to finally watch this Red Wings team and see the Iser plan coming together. And I never had any doubts about it, but
It's like when you actually see it, though, and it's like
yes. And Red Wings fans, they have been very patient, and they will continue to be patient with the Iser plan. I mean, though the Wings are playing a fun and exciting brand of hockey right now, we're still not completely out of this yet. Okay? Though we're getting closer, we're still not completely out of it yet. But to see the plan coming together and to see the patience paying off, yeah, that it's refreshing, like you said, and we need to get to LCA for a Wings game, a Trash Talk Wings game, because the atmosphere at LCA, you could just see watching them on TV. Like, the atmosphere is just, it's hype. Yeah. It's hype. These games look fun to be at. So, yeah, it's been
I would say every home game outside of the Calgary one has been, like, a super exciting game. The Red Wings have either won or just lost in, like, a heartbreaking loss, like opening night versus the Lightning, or when they made that comeback versus the Panthers on Friday night. They were down 2-0 in that game, too. Mm-hmm. But every other game, they've won. I mean, it's just they've been a very fun team to watch at home. So that's a team not to miss at LCA. And, you know, at the time of this recording, they got three more home games. They got one tonight, as you guys are listening to this, Tuesday night, and then two more. So, you know, that's a team that's really fun to watch, especially when they're home.
And tonight they're playing Edmonton, who obviously they got Connor McDavid. Like, that's a star-studded team, so it'll be a really fun game to watch tonight. But yeah, overall, I mean, Red Wings have been a really fun and exciting team to watch so far this year. And though Red Wing fans have been patient, we all know at the same time, though, these past few years have not exactly been great. So to see the team finally taking steps out of the rebuild, though they aren't completely out of it yet, they're getting close. And to finally see the team taking those steps, yeah, it's been really, really fun to see. I want Grant to end this off with the Red Wings talk here. Grant, I know you've been watching some Red Wing games too. I know you've been betting on them. So what's your thoughts on the Wings' fun and exciting start to the season so far?
Well, I mean, something that won't show up on stat sheets or record books or really anything like that is how much all these guys have each other's backs. Like, if you could get to the playoffs on team chemistry alone, if you could get to the playoffs on team chemistry alone, the Wings would be like top of the standings. It's phenomenal. And my favorite part about this whole thing is, you know, the NHL tradition of picking on the rookies, like really just kind of like those quiet cross checks, like after the play or whatever, just letting you know, like, hey man, welcome to the league. When the Wings step up for their young guys, do you know who's in that mix every single time? It's Dylan Larkin, dude. He's hopping the bench to get to keep his rookie safe. He's wearing that C with pride, man. And that is that's the most exciting thing for me, is like, I wasn't sold on Larkin as a captain. I thought with the time it took, maybe he wasn't showing that he had the ability to actually wear the C for the Wings, and he's done everything I expected and doing more. It's been amazing to see him like screaming across the ice to save one of his guys from getting into a little scuffle. And I don't know, man, that fires me up. And one name we don't mention, and he's not really one of the young guys, so I don't see him being part of this team that makes the playoffs. If he does, good for him, but I feel like Thomas Greiss has been having some good games. I just wanted that on the record. He's been looking like he was like a tied us over till we get our guy that we can build around. But I mean, he's, again, if we were making a playoff push, I wouldn't despise having him in net on a regular basis.
I mean, we'll have to see what happens at this trade deadline. I mean, I wouldn't be totally shocked, because we still have Nedeljkovic, who is also playing pretty well this season. Because of the fact that we have Nedeljkovic, we'll have to see. Maybe there's some interest for Greiss at the trade deadline. I mean, that's still way down the line, but I don't know. We'll see, though, with regards to that. But no, you're correct, though. Thomas Greiss and Alex Nedeljkovic, too. They have been a really solid 1-2 punch at goaltender, which, if you remember coming into the season, that was one of the things I was really excited about with this team this year. One of the reasons why I thought this team could be better and more fun to watch this year was because of our goaltending. And so far, Nedeljkovic and Greiss, they've been pretty solid together. And overall, like we said, it's just been a whole lot of fun to watch this year. Red Wing fans have been patient, and that patience is finally starting to pay off. We've been saying for years, trust the Iser plan, wait for the Lucas Raymonds and the Mo Sires to come up here. They're here. and they're awesome. Wings have been a lot of fun to watch this year, and can't wait to see what the future holds for this team. All right, gentlemen, time to move into our final topic today. We move from the Red Wings into the Tigers. It is finally time to talk Tigers baseball once again on Trash Talk. I know Tyler's excited. I bet Grant's excited too, and I'm excited as well. So let's get right into it, gentlemen. So Tigers baseball. Free agency has opened in Major League Baseball. The offseason is here, and we are in what is going to be a huge, huge offseason for the Tigers. I mean, Tyler, how long have we been talking about this offseason for the Tigers? It's been a couple years at this point, honestly.
Yeah, no, I mean, it got really hot, I would say, like, last March, last February.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but it's been this offseason. It's like 2021. This is when you go all in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now that you've seen some of your prospects come up and you kind of know what you need. And even last year, I remember when we hired AJ Hinch, we did the show. It's like we were just talking about Justin Verlander maybe coming back. And mm-hmm. like now this is all could be a reality very soon, hopefully. And it's just like this was the offseason. Like 2021 season was to see what you have mm-hmm. and then you build off, you know, what you need to fill in at that point. And I think it's very clear what we know what we have right now. And I think it's very clear what we need right now. So 2021 was a complete success of the evaluation standpoint. It's just now up to Al Avila and his staff to kind of fill in those holes this offseason, which, you know, he's got the money and he's got, you know, the personnel to fill in these holes with this stacked free agency class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Yeah. A big offseason is here for the Tigers, and they got started with, I think, a bang. I mean, Tucker Barnhart is not, it's not some humongous name, okay? This isn't some ginormous name in baseball, okay? I understand that. But at the same time, though, I do think this is a bang to start the offseason because Tucker Barnhart, in my opinion, was probably the best catcher out there this offseason. I mean, the free agency, the catching free agents, it's not exactly a great list. So I think even Al Avila acknowledged if we want a catcher, we're going to have to go through the trade market. And Tucker Barnhart, again, was probably the best guy out there. And he's a Tiger. You know, again, even though Tucker Barnhart isn't like a big time name, I do think this is a splash to start the offseason because, one, you're showing your fans that we're trying to build a winner, which is something I think Al also said. We're trying to build a winning team going into 2022. You showed that by getting a guy like Tucker Barnhart. But also, I think this is a splash because, I mean, though he's not a big name, Tucker Barnhart is also not a bum. Okay? This is one of the better defensive catchers in baseball. 2-time Gold Glove winner. An excellent framer. And this is someone who is really going to help out your young starting pitchers. Casey Mize, Tarek Skubal, Matt Manning. This is someone who is really going to help out these guys. He's going to make them better. You know? So that's one of the reasons why I'm excited for Tucker Barnhart. And also from an offensive standpoint, I mean, Tucker is known more for his defense. But at the same time, though, I mean, he's not terrible offensively. You know, his career numbers, I don't remember them off the top of my head. But for a catcher, his career numbers aren't bad. And if you actually watch some clips of him, he's got some sneaky power and pop to him. He's just got to consistently find it, you know? But, no, I thought adding Tucker Barnhart was a splash to start the offseason. It's showing your fans that you're trying to build a winner this year. And you also added who I thought was probably the best catcher out there in the market this offseason. Tucker Barnhart, Eric Haas, I think that's going to be a really nice 1-2 punch at catcher this season for the Tigers. I thought getting Tucker Barnhart was a splash to start the offseason. Tyler, I know you loved it too. What were your thoughts on the Tucker Barnhart trade?
Oh, just super thrilled. It's like, you mentioned Tucker Barnhart as a hitter. Like he's a below average hitter. Like, I think people know that. But I think whatever Tucker Barnhart gives me offensively, I'm okay with, but just because of how good defensively he is and like how good he's going to make this pitching staff. And, you know, this whole rebuild has been around pitching. Mm-hmm. It's been around getting guys like Mize, Skubal, Manning, and
yeah.
Fiedo. I mean, we've focused this rebuild on pitching.
Oh,
which
Fiedo.
Is, yeah. We'll see. Maybe a comeback player of the year. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But, I think just getting a good defensive catcher, it's something that this team has just been lacking forever in this rebuild. And it's like, it hasn't
Well, we
helped
had
out these.
one.
We
and
did
it
have
got
Jake
hurt.
Rogers. We did have Jake. Yeah, and Jake got hurt. But, like, you focus this whole rebuild on pitching, and it's like you brought in catchers like Austin Romine. You brought in catchers like Wilson Ramos, who are statistically the worst, like, defensive catchers in baseball. And it's just kind of refreshing to kind of, like, I'm using the word refreshing again. It's just kind of get a good defensive catcher, a guy who could steal some strikes. And it's just going to help these guys so much throughout the process. And, those small stuff go so much farther in the game. You're stealing a strike with, in a terrible school start. Like, you can get an extra inning out of him, or, you avoid a jam or whatever, right? Like, just stealing a couple strikes in a game goes a far way. And as far as Tucker Barnhart just being the leader that he is, just seeing the Reds organization, seeing the Reds players just kind of like sad. It's like, man, we just lost Tuck. And
Apparently, he was a fan favorite in Cincinnati.
No, I think he's going to become a fan favorite quickly over here in Detroit too. I know it's
Oh, I
only
already love him.
I know it's only a 1 year deal, and I know
For now.
for
For
now
now.
it could be a long-term piece, but it could be just a 1 year deal. We'll see.
We'll see.
I mean, it's a great trade. The Tigers didn't really give up much in the deal either.
No, they didn't give up anything. I mean, with all due respect to Nick Quintana, I mean,
Yeah, this has
he didn't do much for us. He couldn't hit in the minors, so.
no, and he couldn't elevate off low A. He was at low. I think he's played West Michigan at some point, but then got demoted to Lakeland. Don't quote me on that, but
I have no idea, but.
I think that might have happened. But I know majority of the year was in Lakeland, and then, he just could never really, make contact with the ball. I mean, he played multiple positions in the infield, but as far as a prospect, I just didn't really think too highly of Nick Quintana. I know he was a second round pick, but when you have an opportunity to improve your major league team and get a guy like Tucker Barnhart, which you mentioned at the free agency class for catchers was just very, very weak, and being able to acquire a guy like Barnhart to go along with your pitchers and to go along with Eric Haas, like you mentioned, they're a great 1-2 punch. One's a lefty, one's a righty. I think, once spring training comes around, we'll figure out, who's more comfortable with who, like with pitching wise. If, I think Tucker Barnhart's going to step into a role where he's going to be, the main catcher for most of these guys like Mize, Skubal, and Manning. And then, maybe Eric Haas gets like two out of the five starters or whoever it may be. But I think Tucker Barnhart is going to emerge of just being that starting catcher with, you could still mix in Eric Haas in multiple different ways, if that's a DH, if that's the outfield. And he's still going to catch for you as well. So you're not forgetting about Eric Haas, but being able to get a nice, stable catcher, a good defensive catcher, because God bless Eric Haas. I love Eric Haas, but he's not the greatest defensive catcher. He's not going to really steal many strikes. So, it's really great to have a fun defensive catcher. And that's something we talked about. It was a huge need for this baseball team. And Al Avila and his staff got on it right away. Day after the World Series, they go out and acquire Tucker Barnhart for a bag of potato chips. No offense to Nick Quintana, but they got him for very cheap. It's just, you can't complain about this, and he's going to make an impact immediately at your team in 2022.
It's not like the Tigers just signed Pudge again, This is
No.
not what we're saying about Tucker Barnhart, but do you agree with the statement with me though that this was kind of a splash to start the off season?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good start. I mean, obviously it can't be the only thing you do this offseason,
No,
but
no, no, no,
yeah.
no.
No, like, this can't be your biggest move of the offseason, but is it a good start? Absolutely, because you filled in a huge need at catcher, and now it's just, you kind of check that off the checklist, and it's just like you keep going through the free agency class, the trade market, and you fill in those needs. And I thought it was even bigger to get this deal done now because of the new CBA agreement. Like, we don't know what's going to happen, and the Tigers jumped on the trade market very quickly, which I think was key, because we don't know how free agency is going to be this year with the new
No.
CBA being, expired in December 1st, I believe it is. So, I mean, the Tigers just kind of getting, this offseason started right away. It's a good move, and it's just what's next now. So I absolutely love it, and I like your analogy. If it's a splash, it's a bang, because I think it is.
It's a good start to the off season for me, and it's good to see the Tigers trying to make winning moves again.
It's refreshing.
It was refreshing. It's kind of it's kind of weird in a way to not see the Tigers, like, make a move towards the future, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Reds made this move, I think, to try to cut some salary and just try to... it seems like the Reds are trying to go into rebuilding mode with everything that they're doing, but, like... the point I'm trying to make here is that it's good to see the Tigers making the winning move instead of vice versa. Like, we're not the ones trying to cut salary and trying to add to our farm system.
It's about time. You know,
we're actually trying to make winning moves here. And, yeah, it's a big way to start the off season for me. It's, like I said, it's a way to show your fans that we're trying to go into 2022 trying to win baseball games. We are trying to build a winner in 2022. And that leads me to my next point, because as Tyler said, though the Tucker Barnhart trade was good and all, it's a good way to start the offseason, this can't be your only move, and it can't be your biggest move, which leads me into my next point. You already know where I'm going here. You already know who I want the Tigers to go after this offseason. My number one guy is and always has
Andleton
been Carlos
Simmons.
Jose
Iglesias reunion.
You know, I don't even want to do the show anymore. I just want to log off and get out of here. I want Jose Iglesias. Not a shot at Iggy. I love Iggy. but no, like, the guy I want is obviously Carlos Correa. Okay. That has been my guy. And that's always going to be my guy. That's got to be your biggest move this offseason. There's a lot of people nationally who think it actually could happen too. I'm reading a lot of articles where it's like free agency predictions, and Carlos Correa to the Tigers is like one of the more consistent picks in the national landscape. It's exciting, isn't it? Oh, I really hope it happens. If we actually sign Carlos Correa, ooh, that's going to be a fun day. That's going to be a fun day. But Tyler, talk to me about what you want to see the Tigers do in a massive free agency.
So I mentioned that the Tigers have some holes. I'm absolutely on board with you. You know, Andrelton Simmons, that's the name. We got to go.
Stop.
No, obviously Carlos Correa. That's the name. You know, if they are unable to get Carlos Correa, that would obviously stink. But just because of how, you know, the name that we've been hyping up, I would say since March of last year, we've been hyping up Carlos Correa.
March? So yeah, it's been a couple years now at this point.
No, it's been a while that we've been hyping up. I think it came more reality last year. You know, once we saw guys like Lindor kind of get off the market and the Astros weren't going to extend him, I think it came more of a reality that this could actually legitimately happen. And to see the shortstop market actually kind of form and actually happen now, it's just like, oh, like, what do we do now? It's like, we have to get one of these guys, right? I mean, you got a lot of good shortstops. Like, Carlos Correa is on the top of my list just as far as, you know, the productions he has. He just won a gold glove the other day, another gold glove. He's only 27 years old. I mean, he's just an immediate impact for your team. He's an immediate superstar for your team. He immediately becomes the best player on your baseball team right away. It would just be a huge bang to start the offseason, or just to cap off the offseason, whenever you make this deal done, if you could get it done. But, you know, there's also some good options at the shortstop market. You know, Marcus Semien coming off a career year in Toronto, I think that would be a nice pickup as well if you can get a guy like Carlos Correa. I think Corey Seager, if you could somehow get him here, if you can get a Correa, I think that would absolutely be phenomenal. Those are the three names I'm really kind of keying in on. If the Tigers get one of those three guys, I think it's an absolute win of the offseason just to fill in the shortstop position and get a very plus bat. You can get some plus defense. I believe Semien was a gold glove this year as well, or a candidate to win a gold glove this year. It was at second base, which if you brought him in, he would be your shortstop. But if you can get one of those three guys, it would just be a huge banger to that position, because, I mean, it's no secret the Tigers need a shortstop. It's the position of need they need the most. Obviously, they're lacking, I would say, depth at that position to keep it nice. So if the Tigers could get one of those top three shortstop that I just listed, I think that'd be absolutely huge. Going on to pitching now, I think that's something the Tigers are going to have to really key in as well. A starting pitcher, I think, is really going to be, you know, crucial for this team. You know, you have your three-headed monster of Casey, Tarik, and Matt Manning. It's just now, what do you do after that? Matt Boyd is going to miss some time next year. And then everyone else is a free agent. Willie Peralta is a free agent. Urania is a free agent, which you're not bringing Urania back. But so the Tigers are going to have to figure out another starting pitcher. And it's just going to be interesting to see how much they're going to end up spending at that position because, you know, you have some good names. You know, you obviously have guys like Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander kind of leading that list right now. But then you also have some, you know, still really good pitchers. And Eduardo Rodriguez from Boston, Robbie Ray's over there, Noah Syndergaard. You got guys like Danny Duffy, Marcus Stroman. Kershaw got his qualifying offer, you know, denied. So there's a lot of good starting pitching out there, and it would be interesting to see if the Tigers could get maybe one, maybe even two of these guys in this offseason.
Yeah. One of the names you did not mention, though, is a familiar name with us Tiger fans and Detroiters. Yeah. There was a report that came out on Monday that the Tigers were one of a lot of teams that saw Justin Verlander throw. What's your thoughts on possibly a reunion there?
I mean, I think it would absolutely be huge. Just it's nostalgic to the Tigers fans, obviously, Verlander, just because of what he did for the team. I don't know. I don't know what to expect with the Justin Verlander market because he is going to be 40 years old, I believe, going into the season, coming off Tommy John surgery. Says he wants to play until he's 45, which, I mean, it's a lot tougher said than done, so we'll see about that. But I thought it was something interesting, which I didn't even know that Justin Verlander still had a qualifying offer. I just assumed he would have had that by now with Detroit at some point. But, you know, it just never got to that point, and he actually declined that qualifying offer, which a qualifying offer is essentially kind of like a franchise tag.
Did he officially decline it?
Yeah, he officially declined it.
When? I didn't see this.
Believe it was on Sunday because that was the qualifying deadline. So
I don't think he's accepted or declined yet.
So hold up. I want to see. Okay. Final players of tender qualifying players offer. Oh, so he was offered a qualifying offer.
Offered, yes.
Yes.
Did not accept or decline yet.
Okay, you're right. You're right. He did not decline it. I thought he declined it.
I mean, he could. He could, though. I would if I was him. I would be stunned if someone didn't pay him over 20 mil. Like, it's still Justin Verlander. Like, if there's anyone who's going to come off a Tommy John surgery at this age and still perform at, I mean, maybe not an elite level like we once saw, but still perform at a pretty good to high level, I know for a fact it's Justin Verlander.
Yeah, it's just, do you think JV just accepts that qualifying offer? You think he gets more than $18 million on the open market?
It seems like, based on talk I saw on Monday with the amount of teams that are at his showing and how impressive his showing was, you know, he reportedly was hitting 95, 96 miles per hour at this showing and recent bullpen sessions too. Based off of the talk, it seems like might not be a bad idea to test out the market. That's what I would do, at least. Like, again, I'd be stunned if some team, like, even if it's not the Tigers, like the Angels, who desperately need starting pitching, why would you not just give JV over 20 mil and be like, okay, we just added Justin freaking Verlander to our rotation. Okay. Like, hopefully this works out and this answers our starting pitching woes.
I think with Verlander, I don't know if he gets more than $18 million a year, but I think if he rejects his qualifying offer, I think he can get similar money or maybe just a little less than that $18 million, but he can get more security down the line, which it could be a 2 or maybe even a 3 year deal for JV, you know? So he would be getting more security, potentially, more than just taking the one-year qualifying offer.
I think it was John Heyman who tweeted, like, a two-year deal seems possible for JV if he did test the market.
I think that makes the most sense for him. You know, you're getting more security than just getting the qualifying offer, which would just be, like I said, in NFL terms, just kind of like a franchise type. Yeah. It's a one-year deal, and then you're an unrestricted free agent, which I don't think would be also a bad idea for JV either because he's coming off Tommy John. Play for the Astros one more year, take the qualifying offer, but that's not fun. So let's just take out that scenario out. Let's say he rejects the qualifying offer. I think it's interesting to see what he gets on the open market. Do you think the Tigers would be willing to shell out more than $18 million a year, though, to JV? I think if it was $15 million, I think they would be more willing. But 18 and up, I think that might be a bit of a reach for JV for the Tigers, just in their current situation.
I mean, the Tigers have money to spend here.
They do.
They absolutely do have money to spend. I think they could afford it, even with a Correa or a Seager or a Semien. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's my bias getting the best of me because obviously JV is JV. But I mean, it makes sense. If you want to go get JV, it makes sense. You need another starter. You could use a veteran like Justin Verlander to help out your young starting rotation, led by Mize, Manning, and Skubal. Like, it makes sense. I won't be devastated if we don't get him. I would be devastated if we don't get Correa. I won't be devastated if we don't get JV, but just understand, though, like, I've been tweeting about it pretty consistently. My offseason wish list is Correa 1, JV 2.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Well, if they don't get JV, it has to be another, like, top-notch starter. Like, it would have to be someone.
They can't get another Jose Urania type. No, I mean, with all due respect to Jose, yeah.
You can't get a guy that just eats innings. You know, you need guys who are going to give you quality innings, I would say. So,
yeah.
You know, who are some other names you're looking at? I see some guys like Eduardo Rodriguez has been kind of, you know, a name that's been leaked around a little for the Tigers. I wouldn't say interest, but just saying fans have been
Here's an interesting name for you. He did not get the qualifying offer from the White Sox. What about Carlos Rodon?
I would absolutely love that. I think Carlos Rodon's a dog. It just injuries has been an issue with him, but as far as a pitcher, he is a beast. Yeah. He has one of the nastier stuff in the MLB, in my opinion. It's just, it's his health. It's been an issue for him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really set on any specific starting pitchers like I am in the shortstop market.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Correa is my top guy. But if we can't get him for some reason, I would be perfectly happy with a Corey Seager or Marcus Semien. Not so much Javi Baez or Trevor Story, but like, you know, I would be happy though with Seager or Semien if we can't get Correa. Starting pitching wise, JV's my top guy because it's JV, but I mean, I don't have my eyes really set on anybody specific though. Quite like the shortstop market.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of names, but it would be fascinating and awesome if the Tigers could get like a higher end starter rather than, like you mentioned, a guy who's just going to eat innings, like a Urania. I would even say kind of Jose Quintana is almost under that category.
No, not get Jose Quintana.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like Jose Quintana is like in that range of where like, or he just goes to rebuilding team and just eats innings at this point. But, you know, I think there's some good starters. Like you can get a center guard who's coming off injury. Like, I mean, I think Eduardo Rodriguez is fascinating. I think he's a lefty. He's younger.
That's one Tigers Twitter loves.
Yeah, I think he would be. If the Tigers don't get on the Verlander sweepstakes, I think he would be my next guy, honestly.
Rodriguez,
and I even like a Steven Matz from Toronto. I think he's pretty solid.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind him. You know, another name I wouldn't mind is honestly Noah Syndergaard. He's not the same player he once
was.
He's
not.
But I think that could be a fascinating, what's the word I'm trying to use here? Like a
1 or 2 year deal, maybe.
Yeah, I think he could be like a fascinating guy to work on, I guess. Like, give him to Chris Fetter and see if he can try to get Thor back to being almost Thor-like, if that makes sense, you know?
I could see Syndergaard taking like a short deal, like a 1-2 year deal, and then just kind of getting paid maybe next offseason. Because I don't know what his value is, really, honestly, this offseason, just because he's coming off injury. He hasn't been the same guy. But I think he still has that potential to be, you know, that dog that he is. He still has that potential to be like a Cy Young type pitcher, like we've seen in the past. I mean, he's only 29 years old, so there's still a lot of, you know, room with Syndergaard. But I'm interested to see what, you know, his value ends up being in this offseason, because honestly, I have no idea. I could see a team shelling the bag for Syndergaard just because of the potential, but I could also see teams being worried about that and maybe just giving him 1 or 2 year deal.
Tyler, I'm excited. I am super excited to be having this conversation.
Just
with
look
you.
What we're talking about. We're talking about like Noah Syndergaard potentially being a Tiger. Like it's like a consolation prize.
Well, no, we're just talking about the Tigers spending big and getting some big time players in here. Like Tyler, if they can actually get Carlos Correa, that's like the top guy out there. That's one of the top players in baseball.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, not just the top free agent. That's the top player in baseball.
That's one of the top players in baseball. That's one of the faces of the game. And we're talking about a realistic chance that the Tigers might be the team to get him.
Yeah, it's not like a pipe dream. It's not like just a pipe dream of, like, everyone just saying, like, oh, this guy's coming to the Tigers. Like,
no,
like,
everyone is predicting it.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
the New York Post, John Heyman.
Yeah.
Morosi's talking about it constantly. Like, there's a lot of national guys talking about
this. Like, this is legitimate. Yeah, no, it's definitely exciting. And one more need I would say for the Tigers is very shortly, I would just say just getting a couple bullpen arms in, getting a couple veterans in there, I think would be nice.
Well,
for
I agree, but I don't think Al does. Al in his end of season press conference specifically said catcher, shortstop, starting pitching. No mention of an outfielder or bullpen arms.
I'm okay with the outfield part, but I wouldn't mind a bullpen arm or two. I mean, I think,
wouldn't either.
Yeah, but. I mean, I would like one major league contract in this bullpen from the free agency class, but I guess if that's the comments he's going by, it might just be minor league contracts and see what you could do.
I mean, hey, listen, if they get Carlos Correa, I don't care what else they
no,
do.
No,
I mean, I don't care.
Their bullpen's not bad. They have a lot of pieces to play around with, but I think
and I trust the guy who's handling the bullpen too.
Absolutely, yeah. But I think being able to get a veteran would be nice for this.
I agree. But so. At the end of the day, though, bullpen and outfield compared to shortstop and starting pitcher and at one time catcher that is now filled, I think those are bigger needs than bullpen and outfield. But
yeah, I mean, it's more of a luxury, I would say.
Yeah, but
so I would agree with you.
Hey, it's exciting, though, to be having this conversation, talking about the Tigers spending and spending big. It's really, really exciting. I want to get Grant in here, too, and he'll wrap up the show today. Grant, you hear me and Tyler having a fun conversation about the Tigers spending this offseason, spending big, and getting some big-time names and players in here. You hear our conversation. You hear what's going on regarding the Tigers this offseason and how big of an offseason this is for this team. I guess, where's your head at with all of this positive offseason buzz with the Tigers?
I'm excited, man. I mean, like you said at the very beginning of all that, it's rare to see the Tigers in the opposite situation where they're not selling. Like, where I think it was Al Avila back in 2016, 2017, basically said in an interview, like, we are having an active fire sale, like, come get these guys. And I remember reading that and just being like, oh, that's that's not fun. But no, it's cool to be on this end, like, excitement for the future, like, seeing who we're gonna get and not who we're gonna call up just because we need to fill a roster spot. But I kind of have a question to you guys that I think maybe lesser baseball guys like myself or other people that are still listening to might want to know. Like, we've talked about Correa. I've seen tweets. I've seen Facebook, Twitter. I've seen it all. Like, there's
Tony D.
a lot of discussion about it. But how do we feel about what if the Tigers don't go the expensive shortstop route, try and build up and take like a mid-level shortstop? Like, what if they try and build up pitching, build up whatever else they need? Like, obviously there's always needs. Like, I just don't know where the priority is. Like, is it Correa or like a high-end shortstop like Seager too, or is it like Correa or bust, or just get pieces?
For me personally, it's Correa, Seager, or Simeon, or bust. You have to go big. You can't not get a big name, in my opinion. That would be such a failure by Al Avila and Chris Illich if they can't get one of these big time names.
Because you don't get this opportunity.
No,
you don't get this opportunity ever.
No. And the Tigers are in such a prime spot to spend big and get a player like Carlos Correa too. Like, the Tigers' payroll is not high at all. So for the people who are like, oh, but Tony and Tyler, I don't want to give Correa $300 million 10 years. Well, guess what? We can afford that contract because if you look at the numbers, we aren't paying anybody outside of Miggy, really.
Outside of Cabrera. Yeah.
And Miggy's going to retire soon. Like, his contract is going to be up in a couple of years. Miggy already said he's probably out after 2023. So once his contract is off the books, if you hypothetically get a Correa on this team and you take on his big contract, you're essentially replacing Miggy's big contract with Correa's big contract. So, like, you can
which is a lot more value.
You can afford a big contract right now. And you just, with the position the Tigers are in right now, a rebuilding team that has taken steps out of their rebuild and like, they're so close to competing. They're going to be adding Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green to this team next year, on top of having Casey Mize, Tarik Skubal, Matt Manning, Akil Baddoo, and the list just goes on and on and on, with some key veterans on the team too, like a Robbie Grossman and Jonathan Scope. Like, this team is in such a prime position to take a giant step forward starting as soon as 2022. With the position that they are in, they have to take advantage of where they are right now as a franchise. You have the money. You have AJ Hinch. Like, you got
the pieces.
You have the pieces to build a winner. Go put the exclamation point and get a Carlos Correa. Go big or go home. It's that simple for me.
So, I mean, this can just be another quick question, because I'm also curious. I know the Tigers have had some good pitching prospects. I mean, just good prospects in general coming up soon. But if it's Correa or Syndergaard, are you two leaning Correa still? Like, it's like Correa is your
number one. Like, who am I choosing between the two?
Yeah, like if you had to go after anyone else.
Correa's been my number one for probably a year and a half.
Yeah, I would take any of those three shortstops over any of the starting pitchers in the market.
Correa is my top.
Got it.
And it's not even close. But if we can't get Correa, like, let's say, unfortunately, the Yankees throw him the bag and he goes to the Yankees. I know. But let's say Correa doesn't choose the Tigers to go somewhere else. My fallback option would be Corey Seager. And then my option after him would be Marcus Semien. No Trevor Story, no Javi Baez for me. I was once a big Javi Baez guy, but this past year, seeing the amount of times he struck out, like, I don't know. I just don't feel like that is a player I want to see the Tigers spend big on. And Trevor Story, you can look up the numbers. He can't hit outside of Coors Field.
Please don't get Trevor Story.
I don't think Trevor Story would be good here. I really don't. So.
Which Comerica is not Trevor Story in Comerica.
It'd be a lot of flyouts.
But impressive looking flyouts.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They'd get the fans out of the seat.
Oh, yeah, just so die in front of the warning track. Yeah. but no, Grant, I hope that answers your question, though, Grant.
It does, definitely. I was like, I've seen the tweets about Correa, and I've also seen a lot of big pitching names. I just didn't know where we stood, especially with a couple young bats coming up, hopefully in the majors this year. They're like, we're calling up our young guys this year, right? Like, we're starting to push, I assume.
No,
should be by May.
Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson, unless they get hurt, hopefully not. They'll be on the team in 2022. Absolutely.
That's what I thought.
Listen, again, it's really, really exciting times right now for the Red Wings and the Tigers. I think the theme for today's show can be excitement. Maybe I'll title this something along the lines of, like, something excitement. I don't know. I'll try to figure out the title later. But something to do with excitement and fun, because it's fun times right now, especially with the Red Wings and the Tigers. And with the Tigers, it's a big off season. Let's go big. Carlos Correa, JV. Let's go.
Tucker Barnhart. We already got him.
Tucker Barnhart. Simmons. Okay.
If it's a minor league contract, sure.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm okay. All right. Okay. We're ending the show here. Gentlemen, it was just us three, but I thought it was a really good show today. We went a little bit over. I apologize. I never usually like going over, but for today's conversations, I'm completely fine with it. Tyler. Grant, thank you as always, and thank you all for listening this week. For my entire crew, my name is Tony Abrowski. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you all next time.